1 Kings chapter number 8, and let's stand together. We're going to begin to read in verse number 54. Verse number 54, the Bible says in 1 Kings 8, in verse number 54, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and he blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he hath commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. All right, folks, we're going to have kids constantly getting to that age where they come out of the nursery. And so they're going to make noises. And just like that parent did, just take them out when you do. However, don't take them back and forth to the nursery, because once they've been taken out, they don't need to go back in. Okay, so thank God for children. Thank God for little kids. They grow up fast, too. It's amazing when you find out what kids are coming out of the nursery. But the noises don't bother me. Like I said this morning in Sunday school to parents, even these little kids, man, parents, they freeze up. They go sit on the back row. Don't sit on the back row for the next 10 years, but they'll go sit on the back rows and they're like, oh, I know they're going to make noise. And that doesn't bother me. Kids will make outbursts. It's just if we let them rule the service. And it's nice and quiet here tonight. I heard that Wednesday night, Sunday night, it was just a terrible cough in hospital. So I'm glad people are getting better. But if you work with me, I work with you. And preaching is important. But the noises, they don't bother me at all. Unless you let them sit there and do that for 5 or 10 minutes. Okay, that's just part of it. Now, teenagers, you shouldn't make noise, okay? No snoring. Definitely no other noise. Okay? And you should listen. All right, I want to preach tonight on incliners and recliners. Incliners and recliners. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time together in your word tonight? I pray to be fruitful, helpful. Lord, I wish there was some more crowd here, because I know some that are out that are recliners. They're just kicked back in their Christian life. And but Lord, we've done what we could do these last several weeks. I pray for these that are in here tonight that you would show us where we are, challenge our heart. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. Keep your Bible open. There in our text, Solomon's temple has been completed. We use those texts to talk about next generation Christians and next level Christians and that sort of stuff. But chapter 7 and verse number 51 says, so was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. The grand opening of the temple had occurred, and the glory of God had filled the temple there in chapter 8 and verse number 10. We used that a couple weeks ago in a message. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. I know why it seems so long ago. That was 3 weeks ago, because Sunday night I was at my brother's. The week before was our revival, so it's been a little while, but we were in that when we talked about getting to the next level and that sort of stuff. Now, beginning in chapter 8 and verse number 22, Solomon prayed a prayer to God, and that by this account here in 1 Kings, sometimes you see stories that parallel, like over in 2 Chronicles, but according to this account, this prayer that he prayed was 31 verses. It was, I didn't go back and read it. I just kind of did an average. It was I didn't go back and count the words, but it was hundreds of words in that prayer. So a long prayer. I want you to see it there in chapter 8 and verse number 23. When he begins that prayer, first of all, he praises God. The Bible says in chapter 8, verse 23, he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or in on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promised him God keeps his word. God keeps his promises. Thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before God. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens, behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built thee? Okay, so prayer is praise, repent, ask, yield, and he's certainly praising God there. Then he asked God to hear his prayers. God, would you hear my prayers today? Look at verse 28. He says, yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day. And boy, I tell you something, he's talking about the house of God, but don't we want the eyes of God to be open towards this house of God right here, this local church? And don't you want the eyes of the Lord to be toward your house, night and day? And man, his watchful eye and his protection and his blessing. He said, this place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant. Okay, so he's praising God. He's asking God to hear his prayers. And then he asked God to work in many different ways. We're not going to go through all of those scriptures, but Lord, if someone does this and then they get right with you, would you forgive them? And if they do this and if they get right with you. So he asked God to work in many different ways amongst his people through that prayer. This prayer also involves, maybe, if I said what was the most popular verse in the Bible, I think that many of us would say John 3:16. If I asked what was the most popular verse in the Old Testament, if we thought about it for a second, we'd probably say 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal their land. So that's in 2 Chronicles 7. If you remember, I preached a series on that, how that Solomon asked it one way and God said, but this is the way it's going to be exactly. And we broke that down. This here in 1 Kings 8, this is that prayer. Now, you don't see that exact response, but the wording is there. We're not even going to look at it all, but look at verse 35. This is Solomon talking here. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess thy name, turn from their sin, it goes on and on and on. Okay, so the Lord responds to him, and the real response is 2 Chronicles 7:14, because he tells him specifics. We talked about how man wants to do things a certain way these days, but God has a specific way of not just turning toward, but seeking his face, and not just showing back up at church, but seeking the face of the Lord. There was a lot to that message. I nearly preached a series again, and the Lord just led me not to do that this go around. But he asked God to forgive the people when they sin, and if they confess and repent. He says, God, would you forgive them? Solomon realized that a holy God was dealing with a sinful people, and that they would all need forgiveness from time to time. In verse number 46, he said, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, goes on two or three times to repeat himself in those verses. If they repent, if they realize what they've done, if they get right with you, Lord, would you forgive them? So he knew that, okay, we have a people, we have a house of God, but we have an imperfect people, and a people that are going to have to get right with you. And he says, I know that you're the God of my father, and I know that you kept your word to him. You'll keep your word to me. You kept your promises to him. You'll keep your promises to me. And Lord, we've built you a house, although we know that a box cannot contain, the God of heaven. And he says, and I know that we're going to sin. We're to live right and be a holy people, but we're still in this old flesh and we're going to sin from time to time. He says, God, would you forgive your people when they sin? Of course, the answer is yes. If we'll confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even you and I, as God's people today, while he was talking about Israel there, while we are saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, if we're honest with ourselves, we too have a tendency to sin and to need to get right with God. Men, how many of those services did we sit in and we thought, man, I wish I was better at that. Man, I made that decision last year. Man, that's where I'm weak. Why didn't I think about that? Why do I have to wait for a men's conference for God to stir my heart about those things? I'm sure, ladies, you sat in those ladies' conferences in the last month and something stirred your heart. And you said, I know. And by the way, here's where we hit a brick wall if we're not careful. We'll realize these things, but we'll have too much stinking pride to talk to our spouse about it when we're missing out on so much peace and so much joy in the home. But we're all, you young people do that, don't you? You go to a youth rally or Brother Trent will teach a lesson or we'll bring in a special speaker, sir. You're just paying attention to that special speaker. You go to youth camp and man, you get right with God and you go up there and you put your arm around one another's shoulders and you're praying and you're making commitments. And every year, you young people say something like this: I just want you guys to hold me accountable and let's hold one another accountable. And then how many times do you do something? You're like, man, I thought I was done with that. Why? Because we're sinners saved by grace. I'll be honest with you, if I was God, I would save us and then put a sphere around us where we never sin again. But that wasn't God's plan. And if we lived in sinless bodies, that would take away from some of what we have to look forward to when we get to heaven one day. So I would say, rather than being concerned with, well, I should never sin, we should thank God for his long suffering. We should thank God for his faithfulness. We should thank God for his mercies. We should thank God for his compassions. The Bible says his mercies fell not, his compassions are new every morning. Okay, so Solomon has been praying and talking to God. He gets up from that long prayer, and now he begins to speak to the people there in verse number 55, chapter 8. And verse 55, and he stood, and he blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. So he reminds them of God's faithfulness, but then he also reminds them that living a faithful life for that faithful God and to that faithful God, living that faithful life is a personal choice that we each have to make. Look at verse 61. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Tired of being stirred but not changed. It's not enough to just get stirred up about what we need to do. Now perform the doing of it, all right? So verse 61, after he has said, God's faithful to us, let's be faithful to him. So he says in verse 61 then, let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments as it is this day. If you're in verse 61, I want you to notice again that very first word, let. Let. That reminds me of Romans 6. Let me read it to you. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, but yield yourselves unto God. Let me read that again. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, rather, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Okay, let not. Okay, so the word let means to allow. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord. To not let or let not means to not allow. Okay, so there are things in our life that we need to allow. There are things in our life we need to not allow. Both of those preachers, it wasn't even the message, it was part of the message. But both of those preachers tarried for a while on the plague of pornography in our nation today. And listen, guys, girls, everyone, it doesn't matter if you're watching Fox News, ESPN app, any of it. There's always junk that pops up on your. It's one thing to accidentally see things and ask God to cleanse your mind and cleanse your thought life and your eyes, your heart. It's another thing then to go back to it. Okay, we need to run from that junk. It's going to destroy you, and it's going to vex your righteous soul. You're going to have a hard time growing spiritually. So I have to decide in my life there are some things I'm going to let, some things I'm going to not let happen. The Christian life is not robotic, and our flesh does not naturally tend toward doing right. Now, I don't have points tonight. I'm going to get down here in a minute to what just the idea of the title. We're not going to wake up tomorrow and do right naturally. I mean, we're not going to wake up tomorrow and just automatically, you know, many of us, I woke up from my nap today and slept a little longer. I don't feel 100% myself. And I just prayed this morning, God, give me a voice, because I sat beside Brother Hallmark in chapel. He was not feeling well at all on Friday night, I could tell. And I was a little scratchy this morning, but thank the Lord, I was so encouraged when I got home that I kept my voice and was able to do this tonight. But my wife, when she came in there, because I overslept, I had my alarm set, but she didn't realize how long I was going to sleep, and she came in there with coffee. There's no better way to wake somebody up than a cup of coffee. And the best part of waking up is whatever's on sale at Walmart in your cup. So she made me some coffee. So in the morning, I might wake up like this and go to the coffee pot. Or sometimes I wake up and the smell of bacon is wafting through the air vents. And I know for some of y'all, it's donuts wafting through the air vents, but man, I smell that. That'll wake you up. But look at me. I've never woken up and went to go find my Bible like this. Like just naturally, this is what I do. You have to do that on purpose. You're not going to pray on purpose. You're not going to live for God on accident. You're not going to live for God on accident. You're not going to wake up and just, man, I tell you, I'm going to be a great Christian tomorrow. I'm going to do everything that I committed to do this weekend. Man, I'm going to do it. And you just wake up tomorrow, give it no thought. You just automatically do it. It doesn't work that way. We cannot afford to just breeze our way through the Christian life and hope that everything works out right. We have to choose to live for God. We have to choose on purpose to obey His word. I want to read you something that I thought of over in the book of Acts, where Acts chapter number 11. Don't go there. I'll have it read before you get there. But in Acts chapter number 11, the Bible says in verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, let me get to the simple thought here that the Lord pulled off the page for me. Back in our text, 1 Kings chapter number 8. 1 Kings chapter number 8. And in verse number 55, he said again, the Bible says again, he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And God's never failed us. He's not one word has failed. Not one promise has failed us. We cannot blame our life's decisions on God. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Notice verse 58. That he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. So the question tonight is this. Are you inclining or reclining? The Christian that is reclining is just like the picture you're thinking of, a recliner. And many of us will go home tonight And either get in that recliner or I'll sit on my couch now, but we have a little, what's that, an ottoman? Is that what it's called? The thing that holds the blankets? Yeah. So I pull it over there. I call it a footman is what it is, because that's where my feet go when I get home. Used to have a nice recliner. Somebody wanted new recliners, and they're not comfortable. So now I'm on the couch there. But many of you will go home to your little Archie Bunker chair, and you'll get in that chair, and you'll kick those feet up, and you'll get your bowl of Bluebell ice cream, Brother Greg, or you'll get your bowl of popcorn, Preacher, Brother Duncan's, and man, we'll just relax. Now here's the problem. God wants us to relax. No, we need some rest, right? He giveth his beloved rest. So if you're tired, you're just not one of his beloved, I guess, but he giveth his beloved rest. But look, it's very simple. I mean, this could be a children's church object lesson. This is what God does not want out of our Christian life. Because you're not going to have a good marriage on purpose, on accident while you're reclining. Your kids aren't going to be raised to love God while you're reclining and not paying any attention to their spiritual side. And I don't care if your kid can shoot a bow. I taught my kids to shoot bows and shoot guns and all those things. And I never forget taking them on that turkey hunt. And it's just unheard of. And we called in 3 turkeys in one night. And Josh got one. And Miss Ogden got one. And Sarah got one. And but that ain't going to help him at 19 when he's away in Tennessee. And got him a little girly. Now and sending all these pictures home, but it's not going to help him. In fact, he can shoot a turkey. It's not going to help him make a God-led decision when it comes to obeying God, disobeying God, following the college rules, having a right spirit, those sort of things. Okay, so what I'm saying to you is we cannot afford to live the Christian life in the reclined position, all right? Object lesson, case in point, over here on the front tonight, okay? We cannot live the Christian life that way. Now, to be in the reclining position would be like the Laodicean church in Revelation 3. Look at Revelation 3 with me, if you would, because I want you to see, people get tired of preachers harping on faithfulness and being faithful and being in and being out, missing church all the time. But I'm going to tell you what, the Bible says that it makes God sick for you to live that way. So you got bigger problems, you got bigger fish to fry than between you and the pastor. You can't show up to church faithfully because you won't go to bed on Saturday night. Or if you're not tithing because you're just not doing it. You got bigger fish to fry. And you young people and maybe some adults in here living one way on Sunday and going out and living like the devil Monday through Saturday. I mean, you're going to answer to a holy God for doing those things. Okay, so Revelation 3, look at verse 14. The Bible says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Get in or get out. Get busy living or get busy dying. But don't sit in a reclined position waiting to be served, waiting to see who else is going to give you a call or check on you. Or get faithful to God. Get in all the way. Get out of that reclined position. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, God says this. Okay, God says this. I will spew thee out of my mouth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to make God sick. Amos 6:1 says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Job said, hey, I was reclining. Job said, I was at ease, and we heard a good message about Job this weekend. But he said in Job 16 and verse 12, he says, I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. So God knows how to get our attention. And I wonder tonight, are you in the reclining position in your Christian life? Just relaxing. Now, back in our text again, it said this in 1 Kings 8 and verse number 58. The Bible said this, that he, God, may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers, okay? That he may incline our hearts unto him. Joshua said it like this in Joshua 24 and verse 21. After Joshua said, you know, if it seem evil to you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. So they said, the people said unto the Lord, unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witness against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. The psalmist said this in Psalm 119 and in verse number 36. He said, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. In Psalm 119 verse 112, he said, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. All right, so here it is. To incline is to lean, or to lean in, or to lean towards, or if I may tonight, to lean towards him. So I think I'm preaching mostly to the choir tonight because I've watched us over the last several weeks. But is your heart leaning toward his word? Or is it no matter what's been preached, no matter what's been taught, no matter what's been said, nothing moves you. You're in the reclined position, and I mean, you're not, there's no leaning towards the things of God. Is your heart leaning towards his word? Is your heart leaning towards his way? A Christian life that is successful and blessed by God cannot be lived in the reclined position. It can only be enjoyed by those that incline our hearts unto him, or incline unto him, lean towards him. I want to live his way. I want to parent his way. I want finances his way. I want to do marriage his way. I want to do life his way. Because his way is the highway. His way is the way of blessings. But you've got to on purpose lean his way. Now just look at me here. I'm closing my Bible. But don't shut it down. Listen to me. In the last 5 weeks, we've had a church growth campaign. We've had a prayer push. And by the way, Brother Hallmark and I, sitting in chapel the other night, listened to Brother Angel talk about some. He's the person I talked to a few weeks ago. My dad did it here. Talked to them. My dad did cottage prayer meetings. And I had heard Brother Angel talk about it a while back. And so I called him up. He's getting old too, Dad, because he walked up to me and said, did I ever call you back? I said, yes, we had the cottage prayer meetings. That was several weeks ago. And but we had the cottage prayer meetings, and Brother Hallmark said something the other night. It was on my mind. How can we continue? How can we find a way to do something? So we've got, I said, Brother Hallmark, let's look after the first of the year, maybe the first month of the year, something we can, you guys remember he talked about a different person signed up to fast a different meal, every meal for a whole month. That doesn't ask much of any of us at all. Could you imagine just our whole church starting off a new year, just knocking, just beating down the doors of the throne room of grace? But in the last 5 weeks, I'm getting to something here. Just a few statements, we're done. We've had a church growth campaign. We've had a prayer push. We've had a fasting push. We've had a soul winning push. We've had a revival. We've had a ladies' conference. Some of you ladies have gone to two conferences. We've now had a men's conference. The purpose of all of these events was to get Christians out of the spiritual recliners and to challenge us all to incline, to lean toward the things of God. So how are you tonight? Can you say God's really done something special in your heart? At any time in the last 5 weeks, any time, let's say, in the last 40 days, has anything moved you? Did it move you? And thank God we had some visitors here tonight. We're grateful you're with us. We had a lot of visitors here this morning. I woke up knowing our attendance was going to be wiped out, but I have a hard time. I want folks to be here, but I had peace in my spirit because I knew this happens to us two or three times a year where, I mean, it's just, and I knew it. I had the list. I had people texting me. I felt bad because I was gone. Couldn't be here for a lot of people. Thank God for our church family and our deacons and deacons' wives and you guys that check on one another. And you ought to do that. And you ought to write cards to people and text them and call them and all those things. And that's a blessing. But we had a campaign going on and man, we saw some bigger days did that move you at all? Or was it just like, another Sunday? When Brother David got up, he preached some powerful messages. Some powerful messages. I didn't tell him what to preach. He's just like me. We want to push and we have desire. And he's got a wonderful ministry there. And he didn't come in and just preach on knock another door. He didn't just preach on let's revive us again. So let's sing the song and then we're all revived. He preached on get a walk with God, a real walk with God, and a real prayer life. And he preached on everything I could have wanted and what I knew that the challenges we would need to get us to the next level. And I've heard that a lot, and I'm glad we have little kids praying that. But I don't want it to become just a motto. I want it to be something we don't even have to talk about. We just start seeing it as a church because you're seeing it in your personal. Did you sit through all of that and nothing moved you? Ladies, did anything move you at that ladies' retreat? I know that prophets are not without honor, save their own country and their own family and all those things, but with my wife speaking and the lady from Oklahoma, the pastor's wife there, Oklahoma, speaking, and just the fellowship with the other ladies, and I don't know what all you did. Maybe weep together. Maybe when somebody weeped, you just walked by. Yep. And walked by or whatever. But ladies, did you just go and say, I had such a great time? Golden Corral was just the best. Well, it's never the best. It's just convenient to get a group in and out of. But, or did you say, man, God really showed me something there about something I need to deal with in my life? Guys, did you go this weekend? And I think you did. And it wasn't just about guns. And it wasn't just about food and all of that. But, I mean, you sat there and said that. And it wasn't just about, America, America and Israel. And we're going to stand together. They talked about a lot of that stuff. But did you say, man, I need to draw that circle around me. That little 5-minute devotion he gave. I need to draw that circle around me, and I need to make sure this guy right here is taken care of spiritually, because if I don't, my wife's not going to be taken care of. My kids are not going to be taken care of. If I fall, they might fall. At the very least, I'm going to break their heart. I'm going to hurt some people if I don't make sure I'm who did anything move you? Have you allowed God to do a work in your heart? I told you, I wish everybody was here tonight, and I completely understand. And I'm not saying this to be rude, but sometimes I just give you the facts, and you're just going to have to chew on them. There are a lot of people who would text me and call me and say they're not going to be here, and I think, oh, man, they're sick. Others would text me and call me, and I think, okay, well, this is the third time in 5 services. I mean, it's not like, I mean, I know we go through bad times, but we need to just get faithful to the Lord. And I'm not for coming in with sickness, but man, in Bible college, I was taught, you don't call in, you crawl in. If we can do that for our jobs, we can do that for our ministries at a church. And I'm not saying that about tonight, not at all. This is one of those abnormal days. Not saying that at all if you're home. But there are some people who say, Pastor, we're not going to be there. And I thought, why do you even tell me? You're not here half the time. Why do you even bother telling me when you're not going to be here? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just telling you. There's some folks in the recline position. And it's just like, I'm going to kick back and just see what my church can do for me. And what we need to do is we might be home and we might be sick. We can get that Bible open right there. We can get that live stream on. But we can kneel there at our couch and spend some time with the Lord in prayer. If in the last 5 weeks God has not spoken to you about anything, let me just be blunt. I would hit an altar in fear tonight of where I am spiritually. You know what I do when I can't hear? Because my kids will say, you're getting old. All right, we went home today. I changed quickly out of my suit. And Miss Audrey said, I saw a dog kennel at one of those yard sale things. I think I saw it when we drove by. So, you know, because we just got back from a husband's trip where they're like, be the husband God wants you to be. No. We had, I said, all right, let me, I'll just change clothes, throw my shoes on. Let's go back up there. It's mainly because I want to make some money with these stinking dogs. And so if I buy a kennel, I don't have to build one. So I said, let's go back up there. So we went up there and we're looking around right over here. And she was able to get a whatever, pen, kennel, whatever it is there. And so I look out here, burp, burp, and I look up and Sarah's driving by. So I call her, and she had picked up lunch for us today because it's been a busy weekend. And so she had lunch, and she said, Josh and I were just talking last night. We talked last night on the phone, Dad, about how old you're getting. And then I drive by, and on a Sunday, after you've preached, you are standing out there in your wind pants and your T-shirt at a yard sale on the side of the highway. I had to call Josh back, and you, Dad, you are getting old. Now, Sarah will make fun of us, and this is why we want her out of the house. She will make fun of us, okay? So in our house, and I'm done, but she sits in her recliner, which would be, I guess, right there. Then we have that L-shaped couch. I sit over here in the corner, so I put my feet up on that thing, and so I have room for my popcorn, and so I have control of the TV. Miss Audie sits over here, so they can yap back and forth. I can kind of, you know, when I need to. And so Sarah will say, Dad or Mom, and almost every time the first response is, huh? She's like, I'm calling Josh. You are getting old. And halftime, Josh will call, and before I know it, he's on FaceTime. And she's like, I said, what are you doing over there? She's like, I'm talking to Josh. And I turn around, there's Josh. And he's always taking the wrong angle. So it's like, there's Josh. And he'll see me over there sitting in my pajamas and my white T-shirt. He's like, bruh. Okay? But when I cannot hear something, here's what I do. Even when I'm talking to you in the hallway. Yeah, stand up, Brother Ethan. I mean, not Brother Ethan. Brother Gabriel. I think Gabe is a fine young man. I think you just got complimented there, okay? He'll grow that beard one day. I think Ethan's a fine young man, too. I think you just got complimented. Y'all can duke it out at home, okay? Here's what I'll do. I've never had a hearing test, and I don't feel like I have bad hearing. But I think I hear better out of my right ear, I guess, for some reason. So when you're talking to me and all this noise is going on around me, the racket, the kids in the foyer, whatever, here's what I'll do. I'll do like that, right? And when I'm sitting in that chair and Sarah says, so, Dad, and I say, huh? Like, oh, you're old. I'll say, well, say it again, okay? You could be seated there better than Ethan. All right. Here's what I would do if I went through the last 5 or 6 weeks and nothing moved me. I'd lean in. I'd lean in. I'd say, God, I'm not getting out of your Bible. I'm going to read more chapters than I ever read before. I'm going to listen more on purpose than I ever. I'm going to take notes in church. I'm going to be there early. I'm going to stay late. I'm not going to miss a Sunday school class. I'm going to find some good preaching online. It's all over the place, good preaching online. I'm going to get so much in me. I am leaning in until I find myself out of this reclined, cold, lukewarm, can't hear from heaven position. You get up out of that recliner, and God will do something big in your spiritual life.